Good afternoon, Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. North Dakota farmers are making a wide range of planting progress across the state. That's according to Ag Intel Agronomy and Consulting owner Josh Messer. Ransom County farmers in southeastern North Dakota have started some tillage.
Guys trying to get some fertilizer incorporated, but at this point it appears a lot of this frost is just starting to come out of the ground. So in my travels, finding a lot of stuck semi-trucks in the approaches, floaters getting hung up on hillsides and things. So there are small pockets in the central part of the state that are actually progressing very nicely. McLean County, Washburn area, my guys there are on one side of the river, actually be the east side of the river, closer to Washburn. They are nearing completion on a lot of their spring wheat and looking to probably switch over to soybeans and corn here towards the end of the week.
Farmers ranging from southeastern North Dakota to the central part of the state are wrapping up the 2019 harvest. Messer says this spring harvest situation is causing some head scratching.
And are we going to be able to get a crop into that? It's going to be a case-by-case basis, but I'm hoping that the majority of that crop ground will be able to be planted yet this year. A lot of my guys are no-till, minimum-till situations, but I mean, with all this heavy equipment we've had to go across and, you know, create some issues that we really didn't want to, but just didn't have a choice. We are going to have to just hit the reset button this year. I just encourage guys to be mindful when you're out there trying to fix these issues, that we're mindful of not doing any additional damage with tillage when it's a little bit too wet.
According to Helena product manager Jim Loken, planting is off to a good start in the southern Red River Valley.
From field to field, some are drier, some are wetter. The tile ground has been going pretty good, but I think corn and sugar beet acres have gotten a very good start. We did get 3/4 inch of rain here two nights ago that has slowed us down, but the forecast looks good, and I think more progress will be made as we get in towards the end of the week.
Farmers may be changing up their planting intentions. GL Crop Consulting President Greg LaPlante says corn acres could shift to soybeans or wheat.
In this area, guys aren't real excited about additional wheat acres more than they have to, but we still have some time. You know, if all the stay-at-home folks keep on baking bread like they are, the demand for wheat might be pretty good over that of even corn and soybeans. So we have to kind of keep an eye on the wheat markets. If they slip up to, you know, where we can get $6-$6.50 cash on the forward contracts, we may want to consider more wheat.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says good planting progress will keep pressure on the grains.
Yeah, it's been really ideal for the Western Belt. Now for the Eastern Belt, they should make some really good strides. And I've got a lot of producers telling me they're going to finish up corn and possibly soybeans by the end of this weekend. There's a lot of guys that are out and rolling and making some progress. So some guys have been planting beans before corn. They say they can get a better yield, or think they can anyway, and trying to maximize yield by putting the soybeans in the ground first.
Standard Grain President Joe Vaklovic expects more support for corn and ethanol markets as people begin to drive, but he says it's going to take time to bring back demand.
Some states have begun to reopen. Where I live in Tennessee, we started to reopen in limited capacity, and we're going to go in phases, and that's probably the way it's going to work just about everywhere. Now, your big population centers are going to be much slower. Places like, you know, hot spots like in New York City, for example, it's going to be much slower. So this could be a drawn-out process.
And Vaklovic says ethanol continues to be the biggest problem for grain traders.
I mean, I can't emphasize enough, and I know I sound like a broken record, I can't emphasize how big of a problem this ethanol situation is. That's the big problem that we've got, really, in these grain markets and in the livestock, of course, the processing side.
As expected, ethanol production for the week ending April 24th was down 26,000 barrels per day from the previous week to a record low of 537,000 barrels per day. Ethanol stocks showed signs of stabilizing, with inventory down 1.4 million barrels from last week to 26.3 million barrels.
Minnesota officials are in Worthington today to discuss the challenges facing pork production in this COVID-19 pandemic. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Ag Commissioner Tom Peterson, and state veterinarian Beth Thompson will be part of a press conference that begins in less than half an hour, about 1 o'clock. That event will be live streamed on the Representative Colin Peterson's Facebook page.
President Trump signed an executive order to keep meat processing plants open to prevent a shortage of meat. In the executive order, processing facilities would be considered critical infrastructure under the Defense Production Act. There are still some unknowns on this executive order. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue said more information on the order will be released soon.
The Centers for Disease Control and other agencies are offering guidance to create a safer workplace so workers return to packing plants. As those plants reopen, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says processing capacity will likely be slower than normal.
And I don't know how you, on a chain, how you separate people out, except you don't run the chain to 100%. And you don't put a pig on every hook. That's one way of doing it. But if you're operating at 60% today, you're going to have to depopulate hogs. I suppose you still are operating to some extent, but it's not going to take care of our immediate problems. So you got to get it up to, you don't necessarily have to have it 100%, but you got to get it well above 60%.
A group of cattlemen are challenging the new Waters of the United States rule in court. The lawsuit by the New Mexico Cattlemen's Association alleges the rules continue to be arbitrary and overly broad. The group says despite the improvements of the new rules, its regulations are still unconstitutionally broad, letting federal agencies control ponds, wetlands, and other property far removed from navigable waterways, which was never intended by Congress. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
There's too little volume in the Fed cattle market. Those words from RCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard during a recent webinar hosted by the organization. Bullard went on to say RCAF has put together a comprehensive reform program
that will restore competition in that marketplace. And that's why we set our current objective is 50% at least purchases in the cash market. We also have the prohibition against these unpriced formula contracts that provide no transparency whatsoever within the industry. And we have the ban on packer ownership of livestock and control. We believe those three measures are actually essential order to restore robust competition in the Fed cattle market.
During the webinar, Iona South Dakota rancher and RCAF USA director Brett Kenzie made the point that farmers are still growing a lot of food. However, consumers are looking at empty grocery store shelves.
And to me, that's a barometer of how such an efficient system can be turned inefficient in a crisis. You know, you look at, we buy a lot of calves in South Dakota. We buy a ton of calves within 100 miles of home. We've got a lot of barns. We're loaded up on competition in South Dakota. My brother does the buying for us. He goes and sits in the sale barn, and it's all transparent. 100% of the 5-weight calves we buy are negotiated sales.
The South Dakota cattle backgrounder continues.
And as a guy that runs yearlings, you wrap a lot of money up in yearlings. If you buy a good calf, you run him all winter, get him through the winter, you take him to grass, you pay grass rent or put him on your grass, whatever. I am just so very thankful for these feeders that keep sticking their necks out to buy what I grow, because I am not naive to the fact 100% competition for the 5-weight, 100% competition for the feeder, and then these guys have got to go and try and sell into 20, 25% competitive market.
The dairy supply chain continues to be challenged by the COVID-19 pandemic. Midwest Dairy Chairman and South Dakota dairy farmer Alan Merrill explains.
Milk, we know, is not touched by humans through the whole processing until people consume it. But yet we got a delivery system in there that can be have a hiccup, you know, getting delivery here, there, getting the milk to the right plants that have the capacity to process the milk can be a challenge sometimes. But I will say everybody's working diligently trying to resolve that as we move forward. I will also share with you that I know We're still a little milk being dumped, but it's greatly reduced because everybody's working together and trying to find a home for the milk. So, you know, it's still being processed and produced for future consumption.
Merrill says the Dairy Checkoff is continuing to help farmers find a home for their milk, including a donation to local food banks.
Now we have a good nutritionist product. What do they need and what can we be a part of and help alleviate some of the shortfalls in the food bank? So what we've really done is ask some of our processors in the Midwest dairy footprint, you know, will they partner with us through the food banks and help make that $500,000 even look a little bigger than it is. We're not asking so much money, but we're asking, you know, can you offer some delivery or some equipment to help store products, because a lot of food banks struggle in that area of refrigeration.
Farmers are preparing to plant the 2020 dry bean crop. Lately, narrower row spacing and higher plant populations are trending in dry bean production. NDSU Carrington Research Extension Center cropping system specialist Greg Endres says new research is out on that topic.
With our research with the black and navy beans, we looked at three row spacings, 14, 21, and 28 inches. The 28 would match up closely with what most people are planting in the 30-inch rows. And then we had targeted stands of 90, 110, and 130,000 plants per acre. With the black bean, there wasn't much of a response at all. The row spacings, I'm a little bit surprised at the lack of response with the black bean as compared to the navy, where we clearly saw a positive interaction with narrow rows, in this case 14-inch rows, and plant populations greater than 115,000 plants per acre.
Similar research is currently in progress for pinto beans, and Endres is examining seed yield response with narrower rows and selected plant populations. Go to RFN.com, sign up for our weekly FarmNet News newsletter. Hit your email box every Monday. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. While soybean planting is still a couple weeks away, Golden Harvest Soybean Product Manager Stephanie Porter reminds farmers to make sure conditions are right before putting that seed in the ground.
Make sure the soil is not too wet, not only just for planting conditions, but also for compaction reasons. And I think we're going to have a long enough window coming around the corner here, hopefully, that we can wait till it's the right time to plant.
Porter says there are some good seed treatments available for soybeans this year.
We consider our soybeans at Golden Harvest a package deal with the Syngenit seed treatment. So that would be Cruiser Max Vibrant. You could go and have Clariva Elite beans, which would provide more options, so early season insect control as well as season-long cyst control. But the hottest topic is Saltrof, and that is the new seed treatment coming on the scene that helps provide control against SDS, which oftentimes can be an issue with early season soybeans or people that have a history of SDS.
The Minnesota Soybean Research and Promotion Council is bringing a technology to market that changes how biodiesel is made. Minnesota Soybean CEO Tom Slenica says the plasma blue technology can be added to an existing biodiesel plant within a matter of hours.
We're in the final stages of getting that prepared to place it into a plant so that we can do a long-term durability testing. And once that's completed, these units are going to be for sale across the United States.
The goal is to create a long-term steady market for soybean oil. The Plasma Blue technology will be part of the Soy Innovation Campus being developed in Crookston, Minnesota. Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat down 6 3/4 at 5.07 1/4. July Kansas City wheat down 8. July Chicago wheat down 10 3/4 at 5.15 1/4. July corn up 2 at 3.14. December corn up 2.5 at 3.32 1/2. July beans up 6.5 at 8.38 1/2. November beans up 6.5 at 8.45 1/2. June live cattle down 22 cents at 84.47. May feeder cattle up 32 cents at 1.18.82. May lean hogs up $1.35 at 56.40. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.